Is Bridgeport on the line?
Yes, Bridgeport's here.
Yes, we are.
Thank you. Bristol. No Bristol? Danbury. East Hartford.
East Hartford's here.
Fairfield.
Fairfield's here.
Greenwich.
Present.
Hartford.
Hartford's here.
Manchester.
Yes, Manchester's here.
Mansfield.
Yep, we're here.
Meriden. Middletown. Milford.
Milford is here.
New Britain.
New Britain's here.
New Haven. New London. Norwalk. Norwich is here, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
And we know Stamford is here. Stratford. Waterbury. West Hartford. Okay, all right. Those are the towns that we have invited for today, and I would now like to turn the conversation over to our Deputy Secretary, James Spallone.
Hi, good morning, everyone. James Spallone here, Deputy Secretary of the State, and on behalf of Secretary Merrill, I'd like to welcome everyone to this conference call this morning regarding Election Day registration for the 2016 election. And thank all of you on her behalf for joining us this morning for this conversation. The attendance is good. If anybody joined us that missed the attendance roll because maybe their phone was muted or they didn't quite hear us, and you ask a question, mention it, maybe Peggy at the end will call the ones that were missing just to see if anybody, just so we have an accurate attendance. I know if we have to go back to any communities to emphasize the importance of today's conversation. The reason that we're at with this conference call, as you can probably tell from the roll that was called, involves large cities and towns and inner ring suburbs where we expect or have had a history of election day registration in high numbers. Some of these are college towns, some are just high population communities, towns with a high population of younger or mobile people. So we feel that this is a pressure point on Election Day. There's just no question about it, especially since in Connecticut, for various reasons, we have centralized Election Day registration at one location. And we feel it's critically important that a right number of human resources and equipment be put into preparing for Election Day registration. The highest intensity election we had, of course, with EDR was in 2014 when we had a gubernatorial election. Well, these numbers will be higher. It's a presidential year, and it's a high intensity, high information, exhausting, as we know, election so far. People will come out to vote by EDR in pretty high numbers. I think there's no question about that. 2 years ago, we had the resources to send a couple of temporary employees to many of your communities to help spread the word about this. This year, we're having to use technology and other means, although our staff is helping out as well. And we want to emphasize that this call isn't your only opportunity. There's written material that's gone out. We also will have other conversations, offline conversations if necessary, to help answer your questions. So today's conversation is going to be about the laws, rules, and best practices concerning carrying out EDR, some helpful hints about preparing for this so that this can be as smooth an election as possible. Finally, I want to emphasize, you know, we heard some of the earlier conversation before the call started, and also our conversations with you, our own press releases indicated a lot of pre-registration, registering on time before the deadline of 7 days before the election, people registering through the DMV, people coming to your office, people sending in, mailing in cards, and of course, people enrolling online. And to the extent that all of us in this business, whether you're a registrar, whether you're a town clerk, whether you're involved with a campaign or a party, whether you're working in this office, should emphasize the importance of registering ahead of time to avoid problems on Election Day. The more people that register ahead of time, the better off we'll all be in terms of handling EDR for those people who, for whatever reason, either decided at the last minute or did not have an opportunity to register ahead of time. With that, I will turn the call over to our elections director, Peggy Reeves, and senior staff attorney, Ted Bromley. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. I do want to echo Jamie's thoughts that to the extent that you can promote online voter registration locally, that you can promote registering to vote before that 7-day deadline. And do remember that the 7-day deadline includes the postmark. So you may be receiving cards very close to Election Day, because as long as they're postmarked 7 days before, which this year is November 1st, you could be getting them the 2nd, 3rd, the 4th of November. So to the extent that you can promote that ahead of time, to the extent that you can promote our voter lookup tool, which works very well because it not only tells the person that they're registered to vote, it gives them their correct polling place. And I do want to add that if for any reason you have changed polling places because of an emergency, and I know some of you have already notified our office about that, it is very important that you make those changes in the Converse system, in CVRS, that you have maintained that polling data and made those changes, because we're taking those polling locations from Converse. And so unless you do that, even if you've let us know, it's very important that you make those changes in Converse yourself. I think the best way for us to handle this is we're going to go right through our guide that we put together originally back in 2013, and it has been adjusted as we have made some changes in legislation. But we're going to go through that guide, which I sent you all copies of, and we can stop along the way for any questions if you would like. So I'm going to turn it over to Ted Bromley now to begin.
Hey, thanks, Peggy. So good morning, everyone. So you'll be hearing from Peggy and myself throughout, but as Peggy said, we're going to sort of go through, and we're not going to read verbatim our manual, because I think you can do that. But we're going to highlight in each one of the sections some of the things that we think are appropriate. And the first thing that I wanted to do is, just as I've been traveling around to the various counties, I was actually in New Haven County, Rovac, yesterday, and we talked about some of these same things, is that, you know, we're all familiar with EDR now because we've done it for 3 years, but we've not done it in a presidential. And so I think the first thing that we have to concentrate on or focus on is the turnout. I think that the deputy, you know, has already emphasized that, and I know Peggy has as well. And I think if you leave this call with one thing, it's just, you know, please think about that. You know, in a municipal year, especially in the off municipal year, which is when EDR started, where places like Hartford only have Board of Education on their ballot, some of the towns have a 25, you know, maybe 30% turnout. Then we went on to a gubernatorial year where we historically have about a 60% turnout. Then we had our second municipal election, which is the other year, where we have maybe, you know, again, 30, maybe 40% turnout. And you all know that in a presidential year in Connecticut, we historically average about an 80% turnout. So as you start thinking about these things, you might just want to reflect upon what you saw with your EDR turnout for those particular years, and how the turnout jumped from the municipal to the gubernatorial, and that may give you an idea of how it may jump from the gubernatorial to the presidential. And we also, on our website, is this on our website, Sharon?
No, we're going to send it.
Okay, we're going to send it? Okay. And so we'll also send to you sort of a breakout that we've done in terms of the number of your presidential ballots you had in 2012, what we have on record as being your active registrations by town, and sort of an anticipated percentage jump in turnout. And again, this is all in your manual. It shouldn't be anything new. In fact, we give you a little grid on, should be about page 3 of your manual, depending upon the format of your printer when you print it out. That gives you a little matrix to try to figure this stuff out. But along with that, I think it's also important to think about your location and your staffing for the EDR location as well. You guys all know that the statute gives you some wide latitude in terms of, one, a location, and, two, your staffing levels. So what we can do is just simply urge you to consider things, small things, like parking, like flow of the location. Is the location going to be large enough to handle a long, you know, line of individuals? Are you going to have enough space in that location for your employees to properly, you know, work and not only register voters, but then is there going to be enough space to accommodate individuals who actually to fill out their ballot? In addition to that, you all know, you've all taken the training that we also need a little spot this year for the IVS machine as well. So take that into consideration. It no longer needs a phone line, as you are all aware, but certainly would need, you know, a table and a location to be able to do that. So, you know, start thinking about that location. I know many of you probably already have thought about your locations, but, you know, think about that as you go. And as I say, you know, even from the gubernatorial, you know, we're talking about 20% more turnout than even that. And I think that that is a fair estimate. Just bear with us here. We're going down our bullets to make sure we cover everything.
I'm going to jump in a little bit on the location. So although technically your EDR location is not considered a polling place, some of the same prohibitions are in effect. For example, no one should be within 75 feet of the entrance to the location or in any hallway or any approach to it where they're soliciting in either support for or opposition to a candidate or a ballot question where they're loitering. Like if someone's loitering, you can certainly ask them to leave or to move along. So we do have those prohibitions in place. But remember, members of the public will be coming through. So it is not like a polling place where you only can fit certain criteria to be even entering it. Members of the public may be coming in to record a land deed if you're in the town hall. They may be coming to see the first selectman on business. The people who work in the building will be coming back and forth, so you certainly have to allow them to be coming in to conduct town business. So those are perhaps the differences on that. Other recommendations that we certainly talk about if we follow along with the guide is that you should, for your staff and whoever you're hiring for your staff, you should at least have 2 assistant registrars of voters because you need to have people who are capable of registering voters in your municipality. And again, because we really think we have no idea what the turnout is going to be for EDR, to the extent that you can prepare for the worst and hope for the best. That's the way I would put it, just like a hurricane. So try to have more people on staff than you think you might need just in case something happens so that you're prepared for it. Because the last thing we want is to have very long lines where even people entering at 7 don't have the ability to get all the way through by 8 p.m., and you can imagine the public relations issues with people. It looks like you're turning people away because you didn't have enough staff to actually accommodate all those people. So that it's very important, and to the extent that we can help you, if your town fathers are saying, we don't have the money to hire additional people, I'm happy to give them a call. Any of us are happy to give them a call to impress upon him the importance of making sure that we can accommodate this law.
So one of the next things that we want to talk about is the communication between the polls and the other towns. As you guys all know, there is a specific application and identification requirement for EDR, and if you have one of our manuals, it begins approximately on page 3. And so really there are two different types of voters. There is a brand new voter not listed in CBR, and those voters are generally straightforward. The individual would be accepted as a voter, entered into the voter registration system, and then be allowed to go ahead and cast the ballot. The group of people that are slightly more complex are those that are or have been previously registered in another town. And before I get there, to Peggy's point, I think one of the things that will be important is line management at these locations. I know many of you have done it, and I know that we've done this for 3 years, so many of these things you probably either already have done or already have thought of, but just please take these as gentle reminders rather than anything else, is that, you know, obviously people who are already registered in your town or people who are simply moving within your town do not need to be standing in the EDR line. And so you might be able to manage and or reduce that line by simply trying to triage or communicate with those people in line to make sure that simply they do not need to go to a polling place and be transferred or restored, or that they're already registered to vote in your town and they don't know that. So just keep that in mind. But for those people who are previously registered in, you know, town A and are now coming to your town, town B, to register to vote, there is a slightly more complex registration process for that applicant, which requires a communication between the old town and the new town. And I know that before in previous elections that we have recommended things such as, you know, perhaps a specific EDR phone number to call. And I know that many of you have reported a EDR phone number to our office, and I know that Heather, one of our election officers, is collecting and we'll post that list soon. That is a great idea. That way you do not get the constant busy signal. But remember, in the manual, on page 4, we have two little subparagraphs entitled Best Efforts to Communicate and Delay in Communication. And so, you know, if a large town is calling a large town, the likelihood of getting a busy signal is great. And so we use the best effort, meaning, and I promised I wouldn't read it, but I'm just going to read this. The best effort includes making at least 2 telephone inquiries to the previous municipality within a 5 to 10 minute period. If that's what you get and you get 2 consecutive busy signals, we would deem that to be best efforts. And once that is done, then you can process the ballot. But I think that communication not only between the towns but also between your polling places is going to be important, because remember, if a town calls you and says, hey, I want to know if Ted Bromley has voted, somehow you're going to need to communicate with the polling location to find out if, in fact, that has happened. So not only a communication between the two towns but also between the town and the polling place as well is important. So, you know, we will collect specific phone numbers for EDR locations, but you might want to arrange with your moderator to have a specific phone number to easily get a hold of them as well.
I'm just going to jump in there a minute just to say something about the fact that, and to reinforce what Ted said. So if someone comes to you before you, you've made your best efforts to try to reach the other town to see if, in fact, they voted, and again, they're not getting back to you. You certainly don't hold that voter up. You give the voter the ballot, and then the voter is on its way. And meanwhile, however, you do hold on to the ballot until 8 p.m. or until you receive a communication back from the other town, whichever is earlier. So that's what you do certainly for people who are registered in another town. If, however, you have a brand new voter from another state or someone who's just turned 18, never been a voter, and that person is not registered in another town, that person can be processed quickly, and you don't have to hold that EDR ballot until 8 p.m. You can send that EDR ballot to your centralized absentee ballot counting location, and again, that's two officials are bringing those ballots over. And if you start counting ballots at 10 o'clock in the morning, they can certainly start counting those ballots as well. So, again, you don't have to hold the EDR ballots until 8 p.m. unless you it's an issue of someone who is registered in another town and you haven't heard from that town.
All right. So a couple of other things to add to line management as well. Is that we also added a section of our manual on the back page, starting on my manual on about page 10, that talks about you are now able to use the online voter registration system. So this isn't new. You had the ability to try this out or test drive it last year. But again, you would be able to use the online voter registration system. So what will happen is the online voter registration system will be shut down after the 7-day cutoff. And so from 6 days until the day before the election, only those individuals, obviously, who have matured rights would be able to register to vote with you. Then on election day, we'll turn online voter registration back on, and you have the ability to use that as a kiosk-type setup at your EDR location if you so choose. It's not mandatory. You do not have to expend additional funds if you don't want to, buying computers and laptops or whatever, but you certainly can. And it is up to you in terms of how you would like to use the Election Day online voter registration system. Certainly the idea is that if you do have a kiosk, what would happen is while somebody is standing in line, they would be registering themselves to vote, I guess even technically on their smartphone if they so choose. And when they get to you, when they get up to the desk on election day, they would simply announce their name to you, and their application would be sitting and waiting for you in the centralized voter registration system queue. Thereby reducing your henpecking typing in time by a little bit. So certainly that is a tool for you. Keep that in mind as you're planning, and you certainly can use that. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is Peggy, and this is sort of adding to Peggy's statement, is that election day registration ballots, and I've heard, and the reason I want to bring this up is because I've heard this during my travels through many of the counties. Election day registration ballots are handled and counted in the same manner as absentee ballots. They're secured in the same way. There are affidavits that are required that are in our handbook in the back for a chain of custody. Peggy's absolutely correct that that if you count your absentee ballots throughout the day, you certainly can count your EDR ballots throughout the day, and the only ones you have to hold are those that you're waiting for confirmation from. You obviously cannot give out results throughout the day, just like you cannot give out results for absentee ballots throughout the day, but you can do that. And also remember that there is a specific Election Day registration envelope that has certain certifications and requirements that the voter has to sign right on the envelope. So if you don't have enough or if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you certainly should contact us and we can send you more. But I believe when we originally sent them out, we sent out enough to wallpaper a small house. So you should have them. But if you don't, certainly let us know. Okay. One change that we will make to the manual that I want to point out, and again, it's on page 7 of my manual, is that we tell you that the Election Day registration envelopes must be preserved for 180 days after the election. And that is absolutely correct, but since we have federal offices on the ballot, for these envelopes, they need to be secured for 22 months. I'm sure you're all aware of that. I will make that small change to the manual, but just so you're aware of it, you secure everything for 22 months after a federal election. So,
question, please.
Okay.
I have a question.
Oh, sure.
Okay, sure.
Who is responsible for holding on to those envelopes? The town clerk or the registrars? This is Diane Slopak in Norwich.
Sure. So they're secured, and they're held on the same as absentee ballots. So I would hazard a guess. I don't know. I've never been asked the question. I'm just answering it off the top of my head. It's not in our manual. But since these are secured and processed like absentee ballots, I think it would be appropriate for the town clerk to secure those as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question, Ted.
Yes.
From Stanford. Are we going to be reporting the EDRs separately at the end of the night or the next day with our ABs as we previously had to do, or are we lumping them all together with the ABs?
No, you need to report them separately. The law is still in place that you need to secure with the EDR ballots a return specific to them. So, and that's a great point, Ron. Thank you for bringing it up. Is that for this election, everything needs to be broken out by district as well.
Yeah.
We were able to slide by with the presidential preference primary because the state law does not require returns by district. But certainly for any election, regular election, the law does. The election night reporting system is programmed in such a way to accommodate that for you. But keep that in mind. Not only do they have to be broken out by ballot type, but they also have to be broken out by district. Okay. So a couple of other things before we get into closing of the polls. Is that you all remember, and I'm sure you all do this, but I'm just bringing it up, is that as soon as, basically on page 7 of our manual, the registrar of voters must immediately send a letter of acceptance by first-class mail to the residence address of each EDR applicant. Mm-hmm. Right in the, if there is such a problem in our manual, we've given you quite a few forms that you can use. Beginning on page 12, there's an election day ballot log. Somebody emailed me the other day to ask if they absolutely needed to use that. The ballot log was intended to be a handy reference for you so that when you get calls from other towns, you don't have to be rooting through a pile of applications or ballots. You can simply look at the log and answer the phone call question. We gave you a sample election enforcement's referral form if it is so necessary. We gave you a copy of what is pre-printed on the front of our EDR envelopes. Okay. We gave you a certificate for the EDR ballots, which would be your chain of custody ballot transmission document. We gave you a sample tally sheet. We also gave you the ability to track any write-ins, if there are any, on your EDR ballots. And then there's an affidavit for delivery and acceptance of the EDR ballots as well. So we gave you all the paperwork that you would need specific for the EDR ballots right in the manual. And, again, if you don't have it or you don't know what I'm talking about, certainly shoot us an email and we can get to you the manual. It's also posted on our website. As well on, mm-hmm. under the lead communications to local election officials. All right. One other thing that I want to talk about briefly that for those registrars that are on the call you should know is presidential ballots. This is on page 8 of the manual, is that there was a prior law, and again, prior law, that allowed both former residents and residents of Connecticut who are not registered voters to use a presidential ballot to vote for president only. When Election Day registration was implemented by the legislature, the ability for a resident, meaning somebody that currently lives in Connecticut who is not a registered voter but simply woke up and said, I want to vote for president today, and they don't want to register to vote, that their ability has been removed.
Okay.
We no longer have the ability or the option for a resident, a current resident, non-registered voter, to vote by presidential ballot. If somebody comes to you about that. They are more than able to use the Election Day registration process to register to vote and to vote for president that way if they so choose. But there is no longer the presidential ballot option. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I would anticipate at least some of you during the day will get at least one person who will be angry about this and say, for the past couple elections, I've been able to vote for president and not have to register to vote. And they will probably tell you that somehow you are taking away their constitutional right or some other buzzword that they decide to use. And it's simply not an option anymore. We have no legal ability to do that. And if they want to vote on that day, they have to use Election Day registration.
On this point about presidential ballots, I did want to add that I have received a few phone calls from registrars who reported to me that they had residents of their town who unfortunately were selling their house just before Election Day, perhaps in late October, and wanted to know how they could vote. Now, they can't vote by absentee ballot because they are leaving town and they will not be a registered voter on Election Day. But what I did tell them is that they can use this small part of the presidential ballot law that is still in place, which means that they are moving to a state and they're taking their time to get there. For example, perhaps they are traveling by their Winnebago. And so by the time they get to Colorado or California or wherever they go, they'll be too late to register to vote. So I have advised those registrars that they can advise the citizen of their town to contact the town clerk, and they can request a presidential ballot, which they can vote by mail, and so they will be allowed to vote for president and vice president.
Okay. And so one of the last issue, I don't want to say issues, one of the last topics that we want to cover is on starting on page 9, at least in my manual again. And what it is it's a more substantial answer than was in our original manual that was produced in 2013 regarding the closing of the EDR location at 8 o'clock. And I think that the manual itself more than adequately explains the reasoning behind it. But certainly I'll give you the 30,000 feet tour of it, which is, look, Election Day registration, I think, is appropriately entitled. It's Election Day registration, which means that with all registration, there is a registration deadline. It's not called Election Day voting because I think that would be, duplicative. We all vote on Election Day. Election Day registration is what it's called, and I think, again, that's appropriately named that. So with that, there is a deadline. People often say, well, what about those individuals who are already in line? Well, we do have a statute on that, but that statute talks about electors being in line. And by the very definition of Election Day registration, if you are standing in the Election Day registration line, you are not an elector yet. The only individuals who are able to take part in standing in line and continuing to vote after 8 o'clock are those that have already registered to vote. What we've done is we have tried to at least detail the two scenarios in which this may occur in your town, which one is a new voter and two, which is somebody who is registered in a prior town in Connecticut. And I think we explained that we tried to simplify the 8 o'clock cutoff is that the individual has to be actually through the election voter registration process in order to take advantage of any additional cutoff, which means that, if somebody is properly registered to vote by you at the Election Day registration site, and then the other part of the room is 30 people deep waiting to get a ballot to register to vote, then that's fine. They can keep voting because, by definition, they are now electors. I would urge you to read that portion of our manual because it is substantially more detailed than it previously was. And I think it lays out both the reasoning, the law, and also gives you I think the two most relevant scenarios, a new voter and a voter that is registered or previously registered in another town, it gives you the explanation of that as well.
And if I could just add a little bit to that, because we are allowing the use of the online voter registration that day, you may get some angry people who will say, but wait, today I took advantage of online voter registration. I registered to vote. I'm now here, and just because you haven't admitted me yet, it's not fair. I should be able to vote. So you need to have an explanation for that person, and you need to be able to tell them that, look, you registered online, but until you're admitted by an admitting official here, you are not a registered voter, and therefore everything that Ted said applies to that person. So I just want to prepare you for that because, you know, we're taking advantage of technology, and it's a good thing, but you will get questions from folks who are angry because they feel like they have registered to vote.
And what I will reiterate what I told the New Haven County yesterday, which is that, of course, our handbook is a public document. If you want to make a copy of the closing of the EDR location section to have it handy for those individuals, then obviously feel free to do that. The last thing that I want to talk about, and I don't know if Peggy has others, is to review your emergency plan. I am knocking on wood right now that we avoided Matthew, right? But that would have been a triple threat, right, with Secretary Merrill's term here, or second term, that would have been three. So we're all grateful that Matthew took a hook to the right. But, you know, that doesn't mean other things can't go wrong. Somebody, you know, a car can hit a telephone pole, you know, outside your town hall, those types of various things. So what I'm saying is that I would urge you to review your emergency plans. I think we all pressed and did a full court press to get those emergency plans in place, and I think that some of us maybe have forgotten that we did that, because oftentimes I will get a phone call that says, Ted, what happens if somebody pulls the fire alarm in a polling place? And my simple response is, what does your emergency plan say? So review those. If there is not a contingency for your EDR location, you may want to add that to that to have a plan in place as to what happens. But certainly review those emergency plans, not just for weather-related events, but what happens if the building is locked? What happens if a car hits a telephone pole? What happens if there are other things that happen on election day that may be emergency in nature? So, again, I would leave you with that recommendation as well.
I just would like to add, before we open it up to additional questions, that I may be coming to visit you with other members of the staff just to see if we can help in any way in terms of your EDR site. We found it very helpful when we had two staff members 2 years ago go around to many of your towns, and perhaps you did, you were visited by them. And so obviously we're pretty short-staffed here, but to the extent that we can just come out to answer any questions or to see what you have in mind to set up and we can offer any suggestions, we would love to do that.
So with that, so if anybody has any other questions, this is not a monitored conference call, so we have to sort of be nice to one another. But if you would, you know, announce your name and or your town, that would be very helpful for us if you have a question.
Hey, Ted and Peggy, Mary Morey from East Hartford. Off the beaten track, but what about the provisional ballots? When are we going to receive those federal ballots?
So the provisional ballot is, by definition, is the overseas ballot, the federal office only ballot.
Yep.
So it's my understanding, at least, that many of your clerks should have those already. They're being drop-shipped directly from the printer.
Okay,
thank you. So check with your clerk. If you don't have them, shoot us an email, and I can follow up with Taffy to see if there was a delay in shipping or not.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Good morning. Any other questions?
Yes, Hartford. Hartford experienced something very interesting with the online voter registration. We received a request yesterday by email. Apparently, the queue that the voters, or let's say those who are registering online, either they're instructed to leave an email address or they are to print that voter registration card and either hand deliver it or mail it to their respective registrar, correct?
Oh, for the alternative route, if they don't have a valid driver's license, that's correct.
Correct. Now, here's the problem we're experiencing. The queue says to the registrar voters and the reminder screen that as of yesterday, we had 302 waiting to be processed. However,
right.
On our end, we cannot come across the list of those individuals to help us understand that we have these registering online until we hear from the individual. Can we, or the Secretary of State, sort of provide registrar voters with a better method than just saying you have 302 waiting to be processed?
So you have a list available for you under reports.
Okay.
We went over this with the New Haven County yesterday.
Okay.
I think it's entitled Online Voter Registration Report, and there's a bunch of different options to select in there to be
okay.
able to get you a list of those people that are pending.
Okay, hold on. Sheila, are you in there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, there is a list. And we can print that.
It says request type, DMV voters, non-voters, new voter, change voter.
Okay. Okay, so that helps us.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so here is our final point to that. These individuals are not understanding that they have to take that final step. How can we relate that message to them on that screen?
Well, it's very clear if you go through the online voter registration tool, in fact, that they do have to download it and send it to the registrar, and they are not admitted until they received an acceptance letter. So I don't know how we can make it any clearer.
Yeah. I mean, you have the ability on that report to contact those individuals. So you certainly could do that, and I know a lot of towns do. I know a lot of towns at where I was yesterday said they send out a letter reminding. So you certainly could do that as well.
It's gonna ask you for an address where you get your mail.
So, all right, is there another question?
Ted, I have a question.
Okay.
Deborah in Milford.
Okay.
I'm just my only concern is on the day of with everyone accessing CBRS. What if something happens to CBRS? Knock on wood. But what if something happens? Then how does the person become a voter?
Yep. So that's a great question. So we're planning with our IT. Well, first of all, two things. One, thank you very much for those of you that participated mm-hmm. in our sort of monitoring of the system a couple of weeks ago. We actually learned a couple of things. Our state's computer IT mainframe group did, and I am late in sending out an email that I should have sent out a day or so ago that we would, we're going to monitor the system again. We're not going to ask you to do anything special other than to do your work because I know that many of you are straight out with voter registrations anyways. But actually next Tuesday, we're going to plan on doing that. So if you have work to do, if you could do it on Tuesday, that would be great. But I will send an email out actually as soon as I get done here. Great question. So we're doing a few different things because we have a new IT manager that many of you have met already. And so we are going to take a copy of the database to have it reside here. We're going to take a copy of the database to be able to send it to the various towns. We're going to have a voter lookup tool on our website. We're also going to have a voter lookup tool, a similar voter lookup tool, I believe, on an alternative website location that would not be hosted by the state in case something happens with the state. So we're doing all of that. So to answer your question, if for whatever reason CVR or the state network were to go down totally, we would continue to register voters. You'd have the ability to look up voters throughout the state using these alternative tools that we will have in place depending upon what catastrophe happens. The only thing we would be missing is the entry into centralized voter reg, and I would say that if we had such a catastrophe, that we would be able to issue some type of ruling or something that would enable you to continue with the voter registration process absent the centralized voter registration system itself. So hopefully that answers your question.
Hey, Ted, this is Olga from Hartford again.
Yeah.
Yesterday we called Secretary of State and requested some EDR envelopes, and the young lady that took the call said that I needed to give her a code number of the envelope. And because we didn't know the code number of the envelope, she couldn't assist us.
Okay.
So, Olga, I'm sorry about that. I'll certainly find out who took the call, and we'll make sure. Why don't you just talk to us after this call and let us know how many you need, because I'd like to move on to other questions on our EDR.
No problem. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Anyone else out there?
Nope.
Okay, so why don't we just, Peggy will go back through one more time to see if anybody else joined us late. Just so we know who we have been communicating with, that would be great. So just bear with us, and then we'll sign off.
Okay, I'm just going to go through the towns that were absent in the beginning of the call. Bristol, Danbury, Meriden, New Haven, Middletown, New London, Norwalk, Stratford, Waterbury, and West Hartford. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining. We're going to say that we will be here for you, obviously, between now and November 8th, and please don't hesitate to email or call. And I'm going to have closing comments from Deputy Secretary Spallone.
Right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for what was nearly an hour on a busy Thursday morning. This is going to be an exciting election. All the work you do on the ground really brings democracy to life for over a million of people who will be casting votes that day. And so we appreciate all the hard work you do every day, all year, and especially between now and Election Day. So on behalf of Secretary Merrill, I want to thank you and encourage you to ask any additional questions that may come up between now and the 8th. We look forward to communicating with you in the days ahead. Thank you. Goodbye.